emotional service. What we offer is just the vehicle to carry our devotion to Krishna. Whenever you offer something in this world, or you make a garland, the garland carries your love or carries your devotion or shows your devotion.
The garland itself, Krishna may or may not need the garland.
Right. That's not the important element. The element is not the object which you're giving. The important factor is that you are offering your devotion to Krishna. And when you give something to Krishna, then you are showing that devotion to Krishna. So that is the principle. So the principle is that the washerman, he had very fine clothes, fit for a king. They were kamsa's clothes. Krishna said, "You give them to me." So what did Krishna want? Did Krishna want the clothes? Not necessarily. Of course he did, because he's Krishna, he likes to dress in the best things. So he looked, he was attracted, he said, "There's beautiful clothes, you give them to me." But that wasn't really what he was asking. He was asking for the devotion from the washerman. He was giving him an opportunity to engage in devotional service. So that is Krishna's mood. He wants to engage everyone in devotional service, therefore he accepts everything. It's like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read in the pastime of Ratha Yatra. When Lord Jagannath's cart stops near the Jagannath Ballabha Gardens in Jagannath Puri, then devotees come and they offer bhoga from every direction around the cart, on the cart and around the cart. So Jagannath accepts everything. So in one sense, Jagannath is not hungry, he doesn't need the offerings, but in another sense, it's a vehicle to accept the devotion of the devotees. So that's why he accepts these things. So from the washerman, he is saying, "Please give. I want your clothes." In other words, I want your devotion. It's an opportunity to render devotional service. Now we see in this, in the remainder of this chapter, two personalities are focused upon. Who are the two personalities in the? Who does Krishna reciprocate with? Sudama, the gala maker, and the washerman. Kubja is not in this chapter. Kubja is coming. So we see there is the washerman and the gala maker, Sudama. So this is a contrast. One shows us what we should do, and one shows us what we should not do. We should be like the Sudama, giving everything to Krishna. We should not be like the washerman who holds back. Because Krishna notices when you hold back, you don't give everything that you could have given, or you don't do things as well as you could have done them, or you don't offer Krishna the best of what you have. Krishna notices. So he wants us to give whatever we have, the best of all things. So that is the mood. So the washerman, he got one result, and Sudama got a different result. Any points so far? Okay. Lord Krishna said, "Please give suitable garments to the two of us, who certainly deserve them. If you grant this charity, you will undoubtedly receive the greatest benefit." Thus requested by the Supreme Lord, who is perfectly complete in all respects, that arrogant servant of the king became angry and replied insultingly. So this is the point. Krishna does not need the offering. I remember hearing this when I first became a devotee, Suhotra Swami, the first sannyasi I ever saw, who came to the temple. And he's passed away now. He left his body in Mayapur. But Suhotra Swami, and he said this point. I'd only been a devotee for a few weeks. But he said, "Krishna does not need your service. Krishna doesn't need our service, and he doesn't need our offerings. Whatever you give to Krishna, he doesn't need it, because he has everything. The only thing he doesn't have is our love. And that's what he wants. Right? Krishna is asking for our love. And the service and the offering is just a vehicle to express our love or to develop our love. It is to give our love to Krishna. So therefore he asks us to serve him and ask him to offer things. That is the actual point. So that's why Krishna says in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, because the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita. It is the most important chapter of the entire Bhagavad Gita, the ninth chapter. And Krishna has many important verses there which express the entire philosophy of bhakti. And he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Right? He says, you just offer me something very simple. Right? Very simple. Right? You just offer one tulsi leaf. One tulsi leaf to Krishna in a glass of water, which is extremely simple, extremely humble offering. But if you offer that with love and devotion, you capture Krishna. Krishna becomes bound by the devotee. So that is the potency of devotional service or bhakti. And that's what Krishna is looking for. He'd rather have the devotion and just a simple offering than an elaborate offering which does not carry any devotion. But what is the most important, if you can give an elaborate offering with devotion, then that is the best thing. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, Prabhupada established opulent deity worship all over ISKCON, including this temple. So Prabhupada said the deity worship must be gorgeous, which means it must be very opulent and very pleasing to Krishna. You know, the garlands have to be very beautiful, just like I saw Radha Vallabha on Sunday night. I haven't seen them today, but last night I saw them. Beautiful garlands. Who made the garlands yesterday for the deities? No one knows. Who?
Rohini.
Rohini. Wow. Yeah, I mean, the garlands were beautiful, exceptional on Radha Vallabha. Beautiful garlands. So this is the point. We should offer the best to Krishna. That's how Prabhupada established ISKCON. It's for our benefit. It's not for Krishna's benefit. Krishna does not benefit by our offering. He doesn't need the offering. But it is for us. So if we're going to do a service, you do it to the best of your ability. Make sure it is first class. Prabhupada would always say first class devotional service. Not second class or third class or fourth class. But it must be first class. If you're going to do the service, at least make it as good as it can be. Make the offering as good as it can be and make your attitude as good as it can be. Otherwise, what are you doing? So, what is the defect of the washerman?
He's trying to hold back.
He's holding back, yeah. What quality is he imbibing? He's envy. Envious. Why do we leave the spiritual world? For this one point. Matsara. We are envious of Krishna. That's why we're not with Krishna right now in the spiritual world, because we're envious of him. Because we're envious, we can't be with Krishna. It hinders our devotional service. And when you become envious, you then become proud. Right? Oh, but you know, if you don't like someone, you become very proud. And you think, oh, I'm better than that person. I don't have to respect them because I'm better than them. So the pride comes from envy. And then once you're proud, right, then you become angry. I'm much better than you. Hey, who do you think you are? Why are you doing like this? So he becomes angry at Krishna himself. Right? How foolish. Right? He is envious of Krishna. And then why is he envious? Because he thinks I'm the washerman of the king. So he becomes envious of Krishna, and then he becomes proud of his position, and then he becomes angry towards Krishna. Right? And if you become angry towards Krishna, then Vinash. Krishna says, Vinashaya Chadushkrita. If you are envious, then you're finished.
See what he said.
Yeah, removed his head. That's coming up. Next few verses. Any points?
Krishna is all attractive, so how could the washerman doesn't get attracted to Krishna?
Because he is envious.
That's all.
Prabhupada said many people saw him, but not everyone understood his position. If you want to serve him, then you'll be attracted to him. If you want to compete with him, like Shishupal.
So the envy is like a cloud that stops him from getting attracted.
Covers the consciousness. Any other points?
It is the duty of the washerman to return the clothes to Kamsa. Otherwise, maybe Kamsa will try to threaten him or stumble him.
Yeah, this is answered. This is answered in the next few verses.
But the thing is, he could have spoken nicely.
Lovingly, respectfully.
You know, that this belongs to the king, and if I don't give, then he will be angry on me. There's something like that, but it doesn't have to be so rude.
Yeah, good point.
When Kubja was preparing the sandalwood for Kamsa, but still she gave to Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. The difference in we're being shown what is the wrong mentality. That's what we're being shown. Then we can understand what is the right mentality. If you see the wrong thing, it's easy to understand the right thing. Anything else? We'll tell you later, because we have to give you anything else? Okay. The washerman said, "You impudent boys, you're accustomed to roaming the mountains and forests, and yet you would dare put on such clothes as these. These are the king's possessions you're asking for." So in the Sanskrit, he's actually saying the opposite thing. Because Sanskrit can have double meanings. We saw that earlier on in the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. So if you take the Sanskrit a different way, then he's actually complimenting Krishna. He's saying there is no one more qualified than you to accept these garments. So Krishna is hearing it like that. Balaram and Krishna are enjoying the pastime because they're thinking, he's saying both things. He's trying to be angry, but he's actually saying, no one is more qualified. So he's giving greater pleasure. So that is the beauty of the Sanskrit language, and that is the beauty of the indirect meanings. What is it called? Parokshabhava. What does that mean? Saying one thing, but it means the opposite. Yeah, that's called parokshabhava. Do you know anyone who's good at this? Krishna? Everyone is born in the subcontinent of India. Anyone else? So this is parokshabhava. Parokshabhava means I'll say one thing, but I mean actually completely different. One devotee did that to me last week, actually. I said something, and he said, devotee used to come to this class, actually. And I said, are you going to come back to this class? And he said something like, yes, very soon. And I thought it's just the polite way of saying, I'm not going to come back to our class. So this is the way that Pira is, Parokshabhava. So Krishna and Balaram, they're enjoying this. Because the washerman is saying, how dare you take these clothes? But actually, in another way, they're enjoying it. He's saying, no one is more qualified. You should have these clothes. You're the best of all people.
Which word is there?
I haven't got the... Because I was rushing, so I didn't bring in Krishna Chakravarti Thakur's book.
Is it Parokshabhava or Aparokshabhava?
paroksha bhava.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a look at the Sanskrit. We don't know exactly which. It depends how you read it. Fools, get out of here quickly. Don't beg like this if you want to stay alive. When someone is too bold, the king's men arrest him and kill him and take all his property. So what defect is there in the washerman? What quality are we seeing?
Arrogance.
Envy, yeah. And what
arrogance.
Else? Arrogance, very good. Arrogance or pride? Huh? Now where does this come from? Where does this quality come from?
Ignorance, avidya.
Yeah. Where does it come from? How do you become arrogant or proud?
Avidya.
Yeah, avidya, ignorance, but...
You think you're better than others.
Yeah, that's what it is, but I'm saying, where does it come from?
False ego.
How do you get it?
False ego.
By opulence, yeah. Ultimately, it's by association. It's all qualities come from association. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Jana Sangash Chalo Yamcha. Jana Sangha. If you associate with proud people, you'll also become proud. So Kamsa is intoxicated, and then everyone else, he thinks, oh, I am like this. Just like if you know someone famous, you tell everyone about it. You know, one time I was at a place, we were distributing prasadam at one festival. So all the devotees there were distributing prasadam, and then we had tables there, and then I sat at the table, take some prasad. And then one man came and sat with us, a guest. So he was taking the took prasad with us. And then he knew someone famous like rock musician. And like 5 times in 10 minutes he told me, oh, I know this guy. And I was like, oh my God. You already told me you know this guy. He said, oh yeah, and this guy. And he keeps saying, right? Because he's identifying. He's proud because he knows someone else. And we're all like that. When we know someone, we're like, oh. Just like when the guru comes. When the guru is staying there upstairs, all the disciples become very, proud. Oh, I'm serving Guru Maharaj. I'm carrying his cane. He gave it to me, and I'm walking around like this. We all get like puffed up like that. Huh? Because we know someone famous. So pride comes from association. You think I am the best. I'm better than the other devotees. So, because of his association with Kamsa, and Kamsa is proud, then he is also now proud. Right? And pride is a great disqualification for devotional service. It's a great disqualification. The mood of a devotee is actually exactly the opposite. Right? Because a devotee is known by humility. Right? When a devotee is humble, then he is qualified.
So, monsieur.
Yeah, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you think that you are advanced, you are fallen. When you consider yourself fallen, you may become advanced. So that is the quality. So we need to develop that, the opposite of pride, which is humility. Akrita Droha, very humble. So that is the nature of a Vaishnava. Now, in the previous few chapters, who was the last demon that Krishna killed?
Yeah,
killed Vyoma, but the last significant one was Keshi. He was the. What did Keshi represent? I am a great devotee and a guru. So that's the anatta. That has to be tossed out of our devotional practices. I'm a great devotee. I am a guru. If we think like that. Right? Then we become Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj. He said, if you think you're a guru, you become Guru. Means you become a cow. Like a not intelligent entity. So if you think I am very great, then you become the opposite. So devotional service means you must become the opposite. Do not think you're a great guru.
How did he think that he was a great guru?
Not a devotee, just great. He became proud.
I'm not a devotee.
No. devotee of Kamsa. So this is a test, because the washerman, Krishna offered him an opportunity. He said, give the garments to me. But he's saying that if I give them to you, Kamsa will become very upset, right? Which is true, right? Because Kamsa obviously is going to become very upset. So it's a test of faith. Who does he have more faith in, Kamsa or Krishna?
Kamsa.
He has faith in Kamsa. So he thinks, well, I'll keep it for Kamsa. Right? But Krishna was testing him. Because Krishna wants all the devotees to understand, right? The process of Sharanagati. What is Krishna's final instruction in Gita? Mamekam Sharanam Braja. So then Prabhupada explains in the purport, Sharanagati has six qualities. Right? And one of the qualities is to think that Krishna is our protector, maintainer and protector. So when we think that Krishna will protect us, so it was a test for the washerman, right? Because Krishna was there, he said, you give me the garment. He said, no, Kamsa will become upset. But if he had faith, he would understand Krishna would protect him, even from Kamsa. Right? So all devotees have to develop this quality, where we think that Krishna will protect us against anyone, under all circumstances. Do you actually think like that? That Krishna will protect me? Right? Even against anyone in this world. Right? No one can harm me. No? Because Krishna will protect me. That's bhakti. We think no one can harm me. Not even the biggest demon or the biggest personality. Right? Krishna will protect me. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. So that is a test of our bhakti. Will we have faith in Krishna, or will we have faith in Kamsa? Yeah, and declare it boldly. Now it's interesting, Krishna never says he will protect your material body. You have to understand that. When he says, I'll protect you, that doesn't mean he'll protect your material body. Because sometimes see devotees leave their body. Right? And then someone says, oh, why did they leave their body? Devotees in car crash, or my Guru Maharaj was in car crash. So then devotees say, why didn't Krishna protect him? Krishna did protect him. Because when he left his body, from what we saw materially when he left, no, Krishna protected him. The soul was protected. When Krishna says, I protect you, it means he protects your soul. Not necessarily the body. If he wants to protect your body, he will protect your body. But that's up to Krishna. You can't place demands upon Krishna. Sometimes he will take a devotee away. But that is means that he's taking them to more service.
But is it not that the washerman did not know about Krishna's position? That's why he was responding like this.
Yeah, but he's standing in front of him.
But how would he recognize that this is the Supreme Personality?
Look at him. You would have to be, you would have, no, you'd have to be buried. If he actually walked in here right now, I mean, we all know it, right? But if he actually walked in, right, people would just think like that. They think, who is this? Actually, who is this? Now, he's stunning. He's someone who just, you see him, you just think, who is this? So just seeing him should be enough. You should think, this person is more, Bhutana.
Yeah.
Right? When Krishna was sucking out her, she thought, when she came to see this boy, so this boy can protect the whole universe. He can maintain and destroy the whole universe. So when you see him, that should be enough.
So doesn't it depend on the purity?
Yeah.
If
you're envious or proud or arrogant, then.
So what I mean if you are not that pure, then Lord won't reveal himself.
No, he was there. He revealed himself. But that is, if you have that quality, that is your problem.
But you should have the quality.
every living entity has a choice, free will, at every moment whether or not to surrender to Krishna or not.
But it's covered.
They're not covered. Everyone has a choice. Even the most lowest person, even the dog eater, can surrender to Krishna. And Krishna accepts him. But you must surrender. That's the point. And everyone has that opportunity. It's up to you whether or not you want to take Krishna or not. Everyone has a choice.
But Srila Prabhupada used to say devotion is in everybody, but it's covered.
Yeah, that's right. It's covered. But it's there.
It might be covered in it.
Prabhupada said, Maya is not strong, you are not sincere. That's the point. Yeah?
So here, the washerman may not have the knowledge of the Lord.
Knowledge doesn't mean anything. When he's standing in front of you, you don't look at him and say, you know, is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Or he's there. It should be self. This is the point you have to understand. If you actually saw him, right, it would be very difficult to not be overly impressed by his qualification. You would just get that sense about him.
Because in those times, anyone can take any form.
Yeah, but still.
And the
form was so impressive that everyone let her go into Vrindavan. So it's like these are devatas, these are powerful personalities. So just seeing him, you would be overly impressed by his. But then it depends on your bhakti, it depends on your purity. So, but the point is, everyone has a choice. No one is forcing us not to surrender to Krishna. It's a choice that we make. Maya is not making us not surrender to Krishna. We choose not to, and then Maya facilitates us, that's all. But she's not making us not surrender to Krishna. Or anyone here, we could all surrender to Krishna right now if we wanted to. But do you want to surrender to Krishna? That's the point.
Could it be our bad karmas?
Bad karma or good karma, that's irrelevant. Prabhupada said, one devotee said, Rahu is making it very difficult for me. Prabhupada said, I can, with one kick, I can remove thousands of Rahus. Okay. It's like, what time is it now? It's like 8:30 or something. So in 5 hours, the sun is going to be completely eclipsed by Rahu. Full eclipse. Right? And it's going to cover America. America is the one country in the world which is going to be completely eclipsed. Very inauspicious. We won't see it in Australia, we'll just be asleep. Very inauspicious. See what happens in the next few months. Oh, who knows what's going to happen? Everyone's saying everything on the internet. Oh, Trump is going to his own. We don't know what's going to happen. Something might happen. The world's like that. It's a volatile anyway, so something might happen. But these things do not stop bhakti. Nothing stops us from surrendering to Krishna. Any points?
Question.
Yeah.
When in Lebanon, because you have the city and you have the village, there's a distinction between city people and village people, and the city people always put down the people from the villages, and I don't know if it's the same. Is that why he says go back to the forest? Is that kind of an insult as well?
Yeah, because he's walking and dressing
like a villager, you're ignorant, you don't know anything sort of thing?
Yeah, he's dressed like a cowherd boy, like a vaishya.
So why does he insult him as well? Okay, you didn't recognize.
That's what people do. When you're proud, you insult people. You say, I drive a Mercedes Benz. You just drive a Volkswagen.
Well, why
did Sushupal
didn't recognize it?
Was
it?
Shishupal's pastime will come up next year or the year after. Then you can ask that question, okay? Okay. As the washerman thus spoke brazenly, the son of Devaki became angry, and then merely with his fingertips he separated the man's head from his body. So what do we learn from this verse? Don't make Krishna angry. Do not mess with Krishna. Yeah. The point is that Krishna, there will be reactions if we don't surrender. If you don't surrender to Krishna, you will get reactions. That's the point. It happens to me all the time. You know, sometimes I'm doing service, and I don't do it as well as I can. Sometimes, like I'm tired, or you know, there's some sort of reason which Maya throws. So you don't do your service as well as you could have done it. And as soon as you do that, then Krishna, he gives you a reaction. He makes you understand you're doing the wrong thing. So immediately, what are you Mataji's doing? I'm trying to give a class and everyone's talking. You either sit and listen, right, and focus, or something else, but not all this talking and everything. Okay? Okay. You made very beautiful decorations, but still you should listen. Good. Hare Krishna. So this is the point. If we, Maya will always give us distractions why we shouldn't fully surrender to Krishna. But as soon as you do less than what you should do, you will get a reaction. That's the nature of devotional service. And Krishna, he does it to me all the time. Sometimes I'm doing service, but then I think I'll take a shortcut. Because I'm tired, or I can't be bothered doing it properly, or you know, no one will know. But then immediately Krishna comes like that. So imagine like that. Imagine if he, you know, asked for something, you didn't give it to him. Imagine what he would do. So what did he do?
He went there.
He put his fingers on his neck, and his head fell off. Krishna just went like that. I just touched him. Didn't even like, boom, Krishna's wind. Just touched. And his whole head just fell off. The point is that Krishna will give reactions according to our situation. So according to how much, because Krishna says this, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So if you deal a particular way with Krishna, Krishna will deal that way with you.
It reminds us, there's a parallel line we can draw between this pastime and Lord Balaram giving you Romarshana Sutta. Even Romarshana Sutta was very arrogant and he did not offer Lord Balaram his death, and just with the touch of the veil of Raj, he killed him.
Same.
It's a very similar
thing. Yeah. You know, probably I think he was very fortunate that he was killed by Lord Krishna.
Yeah, of course.
Washington must have got liberation,
right? I haven't read where he went in particular, but yeah, he would have got.
Anyone Krishna
transcripts. He may have got Suyuja Mukti, like Shishapal Suyuja. Not everyone goes back to Vaikuntha. Anything else?
So, does Krishna really get angry? Like the emotion anger? Is it really angry, or is it just describing
what
he acts like?
It's
not the
characteristic
of
Dhira Lalita. Yeah, not Dhira Lalita, but when his devotees are being harmed, he gets, that's genuine anger. Mm-hmm. That's genuine.
So like, is he getting angry with Balaram, or is he?
With what?
Is it because Balaram was insulted? Because he generally, I don't know, just.
No, he gets angry, but this is not like uncontrollable anger. You know, this is like a little bit angry.
Like that. I just never noticed it came described as being angry.
No, there's many pastimes where he's angry.
Maybe.
Both of them get angry.
Maybe that the washman had very bad karma. Maybe that washman had previous karma, which was very, very bad.
Probably. The point is, no, Krishna gets angry. Krishna gets angry. It actually says when he's speaking Bhagavad Gita, when he says that verse that we quoted before. Declare it boldly, Arjuna, right? Baladeva Vijabhushana, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they say Krishna's eyes turn the color of copper when he speaks that verse. He says, declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. He says that in an angry mood. Because what he's saying is that if anyone tries to obstruct his devotee, he will get buried. So anger is, he feels that emotion. It's not an uncontrolled anger, but it's... The Sringada is uncontrolled anger. That's like anger which is let loose. That's a different type of anger.
Because even every time, the impression I got...
He gets angry, that's the answer.
Well, okay. The word in Sanskrit...
He's a person. He gets angry.
Yeah. But generally means killing me. I'm not arguing, I agree.
No, no, no. I know you're not arguing. I'm just trying to... Yeah. The answer is he gets... Yeah, when he's dealing with Nisringadev, as Nisringadev, that's like uncontrolled anger, yeah. Right? But when he's like this, it's like, you know, it's as much anger as he needs. It's an emotion. It's a real. It's actually there.
The word is written like Kupinda. It means anger.
Yeah.
Usually,
yeah, he's angry.
Usually he's killing demons and laughing about it. It's not.
Yeah, because when someone's got great prowess... It's like, okay, there's two martial artists and they're fighting. And so they're angry, right? But when someone's very competent, he's angry, but when he does it, like, it's under control. But there's anger there. Okay. The washerman's assistants all dropped their bundles of clothes and fled down the road, scattering in all directions. Lord Krishna then took the clothes. Krishna and Balaram put on pairs of garments that especially pleased them. And then Krishna distributed the remaining clothes among the cowherd boys, leaving some scattered on the ground. So what normally happens when a box falls off the back of a truck? Right? Everyone just runs and grabs. I've seen this, right? Even you see devotees do this. Right, sometimes like Samaha Prasad is there, right? And everyone just like Veda Vyas Maharaj had his Vyasa Puja last week up in Brisbane. So the devotees told me they had a cake, all right, and a big cake like this. And Maharaj was there himself cutting the cake, and devotees got impatient. Everyone just started running and just like grabbing it, right in front of Maharaj. So even devotees do that. So devotees see there's some prasad or something, right? They all run, they get a bit out of control. Or sometimes you see like, you know, just say there's nice saris and dhotis in a big box and someone drops on the ground and someone says, oh, they're for free, right? And everyone runs and they start fighting. You know, who's gonna get it first, right? But actually, you see the cowherd boys, what they did, because all the clothes fell, they didn't move. Because they thought, let Krishna and Balaram take first. That should be the mood of the devotees. Just like we had a retreat a few years back with Burujan Prabhu. And then there was all pictures on books, different pastimes of Braj. And he said, choose the one that you like the most. Right? So every devotee, you know, he just said, so every devotee picked the one they wanted the most. And once they all had the books and the pictures they wanted, he said, now give it to the person next to you. So you had to swap it. So you didn't get the one you wanted. You had to give it. So he's teaching us what? To be selfless. So the cowherd boys are like this. All the clothes fell, they didn't go and grab everything. Right? They said, let Krishna and Balaram choose what they want. If there's anything left, we'll take it. That's how the devotee feels. That should be the mood of the devotees. Krishna and Balaram... Thereupon a weaver came forward and feeling affection for the lords nicely adorned their attire with cloth ornaments of various colors. Okay, we'll read the purple. So, Janesh.
The Yuva Swami explains that weaver adorned the lords with cloth armlets and earrings that look just like jewels. The word Andarupata indicates that the colors match nicely.
So now we're seeing the opposite thing. That the jeweler or the person who makes the cloth ornaments is very artistic, very qualified. And they make...